Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, welcome again to another podcast, and this is such an important one. We're talking about United Prayer. Our whole global movement is praying together on March the 30th, and this is where revival starts. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, break up your fallow ground. That means things that you haven't been doing that's been lying waste and unused. Let's break up that fallow ground and start to pray again. If our hearts have become hard, let's break them up and begin seeking the Lord. Because Hosea, the prophet, says it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. This isn't just saying pray for an hour or pray for 2 days. This is saying pray until you get the breakthrough. Pray until it actually happens. The Spirit-filled movement around the world can trace its beginnings in this century, way back to Azusa Street, Los Angeles, at the turn of the century. And there was just a couple of thousand people at the most. By 1945, though, there were 16 million adherents worldwide. By 1965, it was 50 million. By 1985, 250 million. 1991 figure is about 390 million. Today, estimated to be just under 1 billion people. And they would attribute most of that to the supernatural act of praying together. Much of the Spirit-filled movement and traditional Christian movements have many differences, but all would agree that the secret to a move of God, the power of God, is to pay the price of prayer. The word pray occurs 159 times in the New Testament and 370 times throughout the entire Bible. Jesus told us regularly, he taught regularly on prayer, telling us to pray. Luke 18:1, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. His own personal life, as a practice, he went out early every day to seek God, sometimes praying all night. There is a price to the power of God. It's called prayer. I mean, there's pressure on every side to have every kind of meeting, board meetings, debriefing meetings, planning meetings, design meetings, all kinds of rehearsals, all kinds of preparation. But the one meeting that we need more than any is the prayer meeting. That's the meeting you see them holding in the New Testament. That was their secret to the power to change the world. Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. A man of God called R.A. Torrey once said, we live in a day characterized by the multiplication of man's machinery and the diminution of God's power. The great cry of our day is work, work, work. Organize, organize, organize. Tell us some new methods. Devise some new machinery. But the great need of our day is prayer, more prayer and better prayer. Everything that we want to happen in the church has its birthplace in prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Matthew 7 verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 21, 22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. John 14 verse 13 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Paul tells us to pray with all prayer. There's warfare prayer, there's the prayer of faith, there's intercessory prayer, communion with God prayer, speaking in heavenly languages prayer, and corporate prayer. The disciples did not ask Jesus how to heal people, how to deliver them, or how to preach, but they did ask him how to pray. They knew the secret to his life was prayer. And he told them, he gave them the Lord's Prayer. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer, the very first word, reveals an enormous secret to the power of prayer. It begins with our Father. He doesn't say my Father. This is how you pray. He says you pray our Father. That means I am gathered together with many other believers and we're praying our Father. In Acts 1 verse 14, it says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts 2:46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Acts 4:24, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea. They prayed in one accord, one mind, one heart, and that was where their power was. All through the scripture, it says if you're in disunity, you need to get that corrected and then come to God in unity, in harmony with one another. The place of united prayer is the place of anointing. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, and running down on the edge of his garments. Secondly, the place of unity is the place of salvation. Psalm 133, same psalm, third verse. It's like the dew of Hermon. There the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So when there's unity, there's oil. And when that oil is flowing, there's salvation, life forevermore. The third point, the place of agreement is the place of power. Matthew 18, verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The fourth point, the place of united prayer is the place of national revival. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The fifth point, the place of prayer is the place of birthing. I mean, there's so many different kinds of prayer, but the birthing prayer, where we give birth to the future, we give birth to new churches, we give birth to the souls that are going to be born again on the altar. Paul said in Galatians 4 verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It reminds me of Elijah when he is bowing on his head between his knees after he has called fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. He hears the sound of rain, but he knows that just hearing the sound of rain doesn't guarantee it's going to rain. He knows that he still needs to pray and give birth to the fulfillment of the promise he can hear in his ears. So he goes up and prays, and the servant goes up to the mountain. He sends him up and says, can you see anything? He looks out on the horizon. He can see nothing. So Elijah prays again. Go and have another look. Nothing. He does this seven times because he knows that you need to break through in giving birth to a future. How much of our future, how much of the events that we desire to happen haven't happened because we haven't broken through, tarried, been in that upper room for the 10 days, sought the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on us. God is calling us to be breakthrough prayers so that we actually do war in the Spirit. We actually give birth in the Spirit. And that is where the kingdom of God is born on planet Earth. So the place of prayer is the place of birthing, no doubt about it. Jesus answered and he said, I say to you, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Salvation isn't just somebody coming to the front of the church on the altar and then signing a card. They need to be born again, transformed. If anyone is in Christ, nothing of the old passes into the new. They are a new creation, Paul said. So who does the birthing if these people are born again? Isaiah 66 verse 8 says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And the church is called our mother in scripture in Galatians 4:26. So as we come to God in faith, in unity and agreement, we are going to find ourselves with a great level of power to see the kingdom of God come to the planet Earth. And we need to pray. We need to break up our fallow ground. We can never say, oh, I don't need to pray. There's nothing in my life that needs prayer. Listen, if your family hasn't all yet come to Christ, we've got to start praying. If our friends haven't yet come to Christ, our neighbors, we need to start praying. If we're not coping with pressure, that's an issue for prayer. If our marriages are a little bumpy, we need to pray. If our children are not living like we want them to, or how we're living for Christ, we need to pray. If our parents are having difficulties, we need to start praying. If our relationships aren't working well, we need to start praying. If we're emotionally stretched, we need to start praying. If we're anxious about something, we need to start praying. If our friends are backsliding, we need to start praying. If our own fire for God is cooled, we need to start praying. If I'm not in love with the Bible or God like I used to be, I need to start praying. If the devil is obviously taking advantage of us, we need to start praying. If God seems afar off, we need to start praying. If our gifts and calling are not functioning like they used to or like they could be, we need to start praying. If we're about to start something new, we need to start praying. If you're about to make a big decision, you need to start praying. If you're about to finish something or change something, start praying. If you think there are things the church needs, you need to start praying as well. If you think people in our church could be more blessed, we need to start praying. If we think our city needs revival, we need to start praying. If we think the people of our city should become hungry for God, we need to start praying. And if we think people in our city should be coming to our churches, we need to start praying. And the secret to a breakthrough in any of these areas is prayer. As a preacher, as a pastor, as a youth leader, a worship leader, all of us are in need of prayer, in need of getting ourselves before the Lord, united together, in harmony, in one accord. And when that is achieved, the great power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon us, fall upon our churches, bring in revival. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.